So I can just feel this beautiful energy in the room now after hearing all of those examples of generosity. And you might get a sense of how it really is the foundation, the first step on this path of practice that we'll be exploring over the next 9 days. And it leads very naturally to the next step on the path, which is the commitment to non-harming, to ethical conduct. And the Buddha presented this commitment to non-harming as another form, actually, of generosity. And he talked about we give ourselves and each other the gift of non-harming. And he spoke about it as the gift of fearlessness, freedom from fear. Because when we're committed to not hurting each other in any way, other people have nothing to fear from us, and we ourselves don't have to fear being caught out, being punished, being blamed or shamed. So usually, as many of you know, at the start of a meditation retreat, we make this formal commitment to non-harming by reciting the 5 ethical training precepts together as a way of supporting the safety in our community that helps us practice more deeply. And just as a very brief summary, because most of you know these, the 5 precepts are commitments: 1, to not kill living beings, to not steal, to not misuse our sexual energy in harmful ways, to not lie, and to not take intoxicants. And although most of you have some familiarity with them, I'm going to give just a little bit more detail. Because as with most aspects of the Buddha's teachings, at first they might seem pretty obvious and straightforward, but they can be developed on more and more refined levels. So they start as being a list of things not to do, but as our practice deepens, they become positive expressions of deep care, of kindness, of compassion. And yet I know in my own experience at the start of retreats, it's very easy to think, oh yes, that's that formula that we go through just to sort of get the retreat launched. But more recently, over the last few years, I've started to really understand the importance of having a strong ethical foundation for our practice. And I think one reason it took me quite a while to get to that understanding is in the West, I think many of us started our practice by learning how to meditate. And we might have had some sense that if we meditated well, it would change our lives. But what we often don't realize so clearly is that we actually need to change our lives in order to meditate well. Because what we do in formal meditation doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's very much affected by how we live the rest of our lives. So when we sit down to meditate, we start to see more clearly how even relatively minor unskillful actions have an effect on our hearts and our minds. So as our commitment to ethical conduct becomes more refined, we start to experience deeper stability of mind, and that calmness, that concentration, that clarity helps us to see more clearly when there is perhaps some unskillfulness. So there's a positive feedback loop again, and as we continue, our ethical conduct and our meditation become more and more refined together. And all of this starts by exploring these 5 precepts. So we start with refraining from what's harmful, and then we refine it into the positive expression of each of the precepts. And I like to emphasize the positive expression of them, because again, in my own experience, especially in the beginning, it's very easy when we hear terms like ethics and precepts for our minds to just go to what we could or should be doing better, or perhaps where we didn't do so well, and start to go into inadequacy or maybe guilt or shame, even at the idea of ethical training. So instead of that, I encourage you to actually see this as an appreciation, an acknowledgement, even a celebration of what we're all already doing pretty well. Otherwise you wouldn't be here on this retreat. So there's a lot that we're already acting skillfully. And in taking the precepts together, we have an opportunity to refine them in the specialized conditions of this retreat. So we can see them really as an extension of dana and chaga, of generosity. So for example, the first precept, to refrain from killing living beings, as it refines, it can be expressed as a positive commitment to act with reverence for all forms of life. So it's no longer just avoiding harmful behavior, but it becomes compassion, the wish to relieve suffering. In a similar way, the second precept, to refrain from taking what has not been freely offered, not stealing, it takes its positive expression as a commitment to practice contentment with what we have. So it has an aspect of renunciation or relinquishment. We let go of greed or desire for what belongs to others, and instead move towards appreciation, towards gratitude. And this supports open-handed generosity. And then the third precept, to refrain from misusing our sexual energy in ways that cause harm. In its positive form, we can see it as the commitment to respect our own and other people's relationships. And in the context of a retreat, just to name that this precept is about maintaining celibacy. And so in that sense, it's an opportunity to perhaps notice some of the habitual patterns that we might have around our sexual energy. And on retreat, just to observe those without feeding them. And this too is a kind of a gift. We're offering that to other people and to ourselves, by just letting other people be, not perhaps trying to get their attention, or not feeling like we have to behave in a certain way or look a certain way, but just give ourselves and each other space. And then the fourth precept, to refrain from false speech, from not telling lies, commitment to being truthful. Here on retreat, it becomes the commitment to maintain noble silence. So I know some of you here might be new to this noble silence, and at first perhaps it might seem a little strange, but as we settle into it, pretty much everyone starts to appreciate it more and more. So on the most obvious level, noble silence means not talking to each other verbally, but also not communicating through body language or facial expressions, and instead just letting each other be in safety and in peace. So we let go of our more conventional, habitual ways of interacting, not chatting. And I know some of you are here with partners or good friends, but even to just refrain from saying that quick hi, because that allows us to move into a deeper form of friendliness. We get to know ourselves more fully in the depths of the silence, so that when the retreat is over, we can offer that befriending to each other more fully too. So the noble silence is not cold, it's done in the service of that befriending. And there's another aspect of noble silence that can be very powerful to practice with on retreat. Because when we stop communicating out there, we have the opportunity to notice the inner dialogue, our internal dialogue, all of that mental chatter that's going on so much of the time. And if we pay attention to it, we might notice quite often there are half-truths, distortions, lies, judgments, criticisms, harsh speech of different kind. So if we make this commitment to refraining from false speech and harsh speech, can we even bring that to our inner dialogue and to cultivate kind speech inwardly to ourselves as an expression of the metta practice, the kindness and goodwill that we will be developing more later in the retreat? So noble silence is about paying attention to our inner and our outer words. It also includes not reading or writing, except for brief notes about your meditation practice if you need to. And as you know, this extends to not using your mobile phones or other technology during the retreat. And again, in my own experience, this is a pretty powerful renunciation to put aside all of our devices, because many of us have an almost addictive relationship to technology these days. So tomorrow night, we're going to have an opportunity to hand over our phones for safekeeping as an expression of this precept and our commitment to noble silence. But I'm deliberately giving you 24 hours to sort of wean yourself off gradually if you need to, and to notice that relationship, maybe the urge to send a quick text message or a couple of emails or just check what's happening on the news and so on, and to notice what that does as you're starting to settle the ripples of reaction that that can create. So we're just gently learning to change our relationship to that technology. And these days, because it often is so compulsive, some teachers actually include it as an intoxicant, which is the fifth of these precepts, the invitation to refrain from taking intoxicants. And again, that's pretty obvious on one level. If we're trying to cultivate calm and clarity and compassion, then taking in recreational drugs or alcohol is going to be pretty counterproductive. So just to be clear, this doesn't include prescription medication. So if you have any kind of prescription, please keep taking it. It's about the intoxication that clouds the heart and mind. So when we move this into the positive expression, it's about paying attention to what we consume, what we ingest, not only in terms of intoxicants, but even things, any other kind of more compulsive relationships we have. Could be to food, to work, to money, to sex, to entertainment, or to technology. And so we're trying to gently relinquish that intoxicant and orient to steadiness and stability. So we have the opportunity now to make that commitment to non-harming together by reciting the precepts. And again, just that invitation to acknowledge as you do that what you're already doing well. And I'll recite them in Pali to begin with. If you know the Pali, you can follow along. And then we'll say them in English, both the refraining from and the positive expression. And this is voluntary, so if you have your own way of making this commitment, it's okay to do that. And yeah, I see some of you are using your phones for light. That's a very permissible use of your cell phones right now. Okay. Panatipata veramani sikapadam samariyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from killing living beings. I undertake the training to practice compassionate action. Adinadana veramani sikapadam samariyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking what is not given. I undertake the training to practice contentment. Kame sumichachara veramani sikapadam samariyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. I undertake the training to practice responsibility in all my relationships. Musawada Varamani Sikaparam Samariyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from false speech. I undertake the training to practice noble silence during retreat and true, kind speech in daily life. Sura Merya Maja Pamadatana Varamani Sikaparam Samariyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking intoxicants, which cloud the mind and cause heedlessness. I undertake the training to care for my body and my mind. Idam me silam magapala jnanasa pachayo hotu. May this virtue of mine help bring about knowledge of the path and its fruit. Thank you. I hope that you can feel a sense of appreciation for having made that commitment together.